So when you came to Vegas, what was the motivation to relocate here?
Arnie lived here.
Okay, so he was already here.
I didn't have much of a choice. Mm-hmm. He was worried that I wouldn't make a lot of friends, so he insisted that I either go back to school and get a master's degree or continue teaching. So I taught at Ruby Thomas Elementary School. They had a program for the deaf. And I also went back to school and got a master's degree in marriage and family counseling at UNLV.
Where's Ruby Thomas at?
Where is it? Is
that? Yeah, it's a...
It's not in a great area right now. As a matter of fact, they create more phone books for that area than they do for most of the others because it's so transient, but it's behind the Boulevard Mall.
Oh, okay. Right. So over in that area. So how many students did you have at that time?
Well, this was kindergarten through eighth grade. I taught in the lower school, and I usually had about 14 or 15 students plus an aide. Mm-hmm. It was a great program at the time. Mainstreaming had not been heard of, and there was a lot of pride surrounding the program for the deaf because it was a great program.
So when you say there wasn't mainstreaming, the students then were in their own separate class with, and then you taught them all subjects, or how did that work?
I taught them several subjects, but we rotated for some of them. And all of the children that were deaf from kindergarten through eighth grade were in a building that was attached to the main school, mm-hmm. but it was built with deafness in mind, so just like you would do for somebody in a wheelchair, it was outfitted mm-hmm. for deaf children. And junior high, the deaf kids were in one location, and high school. So it was wonderful for them because their social group was built in. Now that they're mainstreamed, they're divided. Some deaf kids aren't with any other deaf kids. They travel from class to class with an interpreter, and it's unfortunate.
So some of the so-called improvements in education are always the best, are they?
This one certainly was not a good decision.
How did you get interested in teaching that subject?
When I was a child, I think I was in about the eighth grade, my mother told all of us that we had to select an area of volunteerism. And I worked it's not politically correct now, but it was called Crippled Children's Division of the mm-hmm. University of Oregon Medical School. So I volunteered there once a week, and I fell in love with the deaf kids. It was just an affinity that I had. So that's what I got my degree in, education of the deaf, at Lewis and Clark College. And I had wanted to teach at the School for the Deaf in Berkeley since I had heard about it in the eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And as a child, I wrote letters, I remember, to Dr. Schoonhoff, telling him I was going to come there and teach someday. And it was the only place I applied. And I loved it. It was really wonderful. And it was a great place to be a single Jewish girl. San Francisco.
Really?
Uh-huh. Federation was really active with the young adult division. And they had wonderful activities on a monthly basis. They'd have a big deal, and weekly they had small things in bars, and my roommate was Jewish, and we went to all of these activities, and we had a great time. It was really fun living there.
Well, that's neat. And so coming to Vegas, what did the Jewish community seem like to you when you first moved here?
Well, first of all, we got married in August, so when I got off the plane, I thought I'd made a big mistake, because it was so hot. I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. What was the Jewish community like then? It was really wonderful. Arnie and I were in young leadership, and all of our friends were young leadership couples. And we were so close. We did so much together. It was really wonderful. A lot of those people are still my friends today.
I've